Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Chris Skirm. How are you, Chris?
I'm very well, thanks.
Excellent. It's been a few years since we've had you on the show.
It has, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, we had you on the show talking about Sapexa and a wee bit about French wines, I think.
Indeed. Well, I just talk about French wines. I'm an absolute passionate Francophile, thank you.
Yeah, so on. Okay, no, that's no problem. What we're going to talk about today, though, is some of the changes in the Appellation Contrôlée rules and the Van de Pay rules and all that sort of stuff, which is, to be honest, I've followed the news. We report on the changes. I'm confused. I was expecting last year or this year at least to see a load of new labelling like Appellation Contrôlée gone and something else in its place, but I'm still seeing Appellation Contrôlée everywhere. First of all, what are the new rules or the changes, and when might I expect to see them?
Okay, I can understand why you're confused. One of the reasons is that it's a gradual process. Obviously,
Before we get into that, what's the big driver? Was it an EU directive, wasn't it?
It was an EU directive, and it's across the whole of Europe, with the idea to simplify the nomenclature of wines across Europe in order to make it easier and more accessible for consumers to understand what they're buying. Obviously, though, the whole history of classifying wines within each country has a great tradition and a great noble tradition, and so therefore there is an amount of time afforded to all of the producers to move across in their own good time rather than a snap decision.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't 2011, because I was expecting 2011, done deal, got a lot of new stuff to learn, but then it's done, whereas that hasn't really happened, has it?
No, it's much more gradual than that.
Okay, so in relation to France in particular, because that's your specialty.
It is, yes. In relation to France, there are three main classifications which are according to the OCM reform. The first is called AOP, or Appellation d'Origine Protégée, which is more or less exactly the same as AOC.
Sounds very French, AOP. Protégé, that
it
sounds...
It is.
It's a French word. Why can you just call it Contrôlée like you had before?
Well, it's got Contrôlée in the word. I suppose you need to ask the Belgians that, or the people in grey suits.
Okay.
Appellation Contrôlée, so that moves across to AOP.
Is that like a one-to-one, just straight swap?
More or less a straight stop, strop, straight swap even.
Have you been at the tasting?
I haven't had one yet, no. It's also very much equivalent to PDO, which some of your listeners might know, which is a label used for food. If it's a PDO, which is protected designation of origin.
Yes, that's a salami.
AOP is very similar to that. That's really the wish, is to have the same nomenclature across both food and wine eventually.
Okay, now that makes sense.
The next level is IGP, which stands for Indication of Geographical Protection. That means simply that the region that the wine is made on is printed on the label. Now, a lot of the Van de Pay in France moved directly to that specific specification.
Yep. Okay. So Van de Pay would sort of map. That makes sense, because Van de Pay was all about...
Van de Pay was, again, it was about you had region. Van de Pay du Val de Loire, which is from the Loire. You have Van de Pay Côte de Gascogne, which is Gascony. Van de Pay Doc, which is from the Oc. So they were very much promoting the wine region in which those wines are made, and that's very similar for IGP, because it's got the G for geography. That's the way I remember it anyway.
Okay, now that makes sense. And I haven't seen any IGP written anywhere apart from on some balsamic vinegar.
Yeah, and again, it's very similar in terms of food. I mean, the whole ethos of Brussels is to move everything across so that eventually the nomenclature is exactly the same for both food and wine. But as I say, said up front, it's a gradual process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you won't have seen much IGP on labels yet, because that's one of the...
Not on wine labels, no.
No, not on wine labels, because it's one of the categories that's the slowest to come to fruition, because there's quite a lot of decision-making process. It's really up to the producer whether they would like to do IGP if they're a Van de Pay. They could move up to AOP if they wanted to. And respected the rules, or they could move to the third category, which is Vin de France, which is a category that rather than replacing Van der Tabler, actually comes in as a completely different category, a new innovative category, a category that was created in France specifically to compete with the New World, to give producers much more of a level playing field. What I find interesting about Vin de France is that on the label, the key information that the consumer sees, first and foremost, is the brand of the wine.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, they see the grape variety.
So you're allowed to write the grape variety.
You're allowed to write the grape variety or varieties on the wine. Yeah. So you can put the grape variety and varietal blend.
And
if
I
you
presume
want
that follows sort of normal naming, where the first grape is the main one, then the next,
absolutely,
then the next, and then
absolutely.
But you don't need to put all the grapes in.
No, you don't. It's generally you'll put the first two, maybe three, but yeah, it's very similar to.
I think normally if it's less than 15%, you can choose
you
to put it in or not.
Or not. Yeah, it's very, very similar rules. Then they have the option if they wanted to put the vintage on, mm-hmm, which again was never the case with Van der.
Yeah, no,
Van der Tabler
was always about not even grape variety. You're just allowed to say it's wine. You know, drink
exactly,
it at your risk.
Exactly. But these new rules are great for the category because they give it much more of a form, and it's in a much more friendly way, much more accessible. Way for the consumer to look. Then the bottom level, it says Vin de France, so the country of origin comes bottom, but it's very, you know, consumer goes, oh, it's that brand, I like that brand, oh, I like those varieties, oh, it was made in whenever, and it's from France. So it's a very simple transition,
yep,
for the consumer to purchase that wine, hopefully. The other good thing, or the other innovative thing about Vin de France, is Vin de France allows the producer quite a lot more flexibility in terms of the rules and regulations of how the viniculture and viticulture is done. And specifically, what is very, very different, it marks the first time that blending across the regions is permitted. Now, that might seem completely crazy for those people who are tuning in from Australia,
yeah,
because that's been happening ever since the Australian wine industry was invented. You know, grape juice picked in one region and then put in lorries and taken down to another region. It makes sense.
The classic southeastern Australia really is 90,
absolutely,
90% of Australian wine.
Absolutely.
You know.
But what it means, what that means is that if you bear in mind the fact that obviously wine is an agricultural product, it's a plant, so it's subject to all the vagaries of climate and weather. If you're producing a wine that is, let's say, a blend of Viognier and Semillon, I'm not sure that would be a very nice blend, but anyway, there's a, let's say for the sake of argument that you're making that, and one year there's a really bad frost in your main region where your plant is, and all the Semillon is frosted. In the original rules, you were stuck. It meant you didn't make wine, or you made different wine, or wine of a very different consistency and quality. With the new rules, you can think, hang on a minute, okay, I don't have the requisite amount of quality grape juice from this particular grape variety, so I'll go down to, I don't know, let's say, for example, I'll pop down to my friends in Languedoc and see if I can buy in some grape juice from those guys down there of a similar quality in order to make my wine back wherever I am. Let's say, for example, I'm in the Rhone, in order to make a wine of the same taste profile and same consistent quality. And that's what Vin de France is all about. It's about consistency of quality for the producers. It gives them, it affords them so much more flexibility.
Yeah, and I suppose then they can develop their brands, and also they can get some volume through as well, which is
absolutely
quite nice.
Yes.
I've tasted it at the London National Wine Fair for the last couple of years. I've had a Vin de France stand.
Yes.
And I've worked my way through them. And generally, I must admit, I'm not a big drinker of Vin de Tarbe. Mm-hmm. It's not really a wine I see a lot.
Well, Vin de Tabler does not exist anymore.
Yeah.
It's
but the wines were reasonable. You know, there was a real mixed bag in
absolutely
there.
Absolutely.
And a lot of different interesting wines, and some that I wouldn't want to go back to. But, you know, they seemed to be quite good. You know, there was a real...
The Vin de France wines.
Yeah. They seemed a lot better than Vin de Tarbe, I remember.
I think you're right. And it's really important to note that Vin de France is not just Vin de Tabler with a new name. It's a completely new segmentation of wine. It's got its own rules and regulations. They're much more relaxed than both IGP and AOP, but there's still rules and regulations there, and it's all about quality. What's really interesting as well is in the past 3 years, it's been in production for this is the third year, the big names in France are adopting it more and more, and the numbers of wines coming through are exponential. It's a very exciting category.
Are we seeing Vin de France in the high street at the moment?
Because yes, we are.
I haven't seen it, but I don't go
there into... There are Vin de Frances in almost every single, if not every single supermarket and off-license in the UK now.
Is there?
Today.
Oh, I have to. We look for them. I haven't really been looking for that sort of thing, but okay.
But that's because we don't want you to look at Vin de France. We want you to look at the brands. We want you to look at the grape variety, and then we want you to look at the vintage.
Or maybe it's done what it's done, and that's why I haven't noticed it. Okay, and in terms of the AOP, when should I expect to see the name on the bottle change from Appellation Origin Control A to Appellation Origin?
It's a good question. I personally don't know.
Is there any time frame which says you must be over by 10 years or 5?
I'm sure there is, but I don't have that information, I'm afraid.
Okay, no, that's cool. That's cool. And the Vin de Pays or the new IGP?
Yeah.
Will I see IGP as a standard throughout Europe, not just in France?
Ostensibly, that is the aim of Brussels, yes.
So, hopefully in 5 years' time, I won't need to remember the DOC and the DOCGs
exactly.
in Italy and then know that they're slightly different in Spain and Portugal and all this sort of carry
That's
on.
Precisely the reason why Marianne Fischer-Bowl, who was then the woman in charge at Brussels, brought this rule in.
Okay, now that sounds brilliant. That tidies it all up for me, Chris.
Great.
Thank you very much for your time.
I'm glad to be of service.
Cheers, bud.
Cheers.